Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. In Thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Thy righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline Thine ear to me and save me. Be Thou to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. For Thou art my hope. O Lord God, Thou art my confidence from my youth. By Thee I have been sustained from my birth. Thou art He who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of Thee. I have become a marvel to many, for Thou art my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with Thy praise, and with Thy glory all day long. Do not cast me off in time of old age, and do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. And let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise Thee yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of Thy righteousness and of Thy salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, Thine alone. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare Thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare Thy strength to this generation, Thy power to all who are to come. For Thy righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. And Thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like Thee? Thou who hast shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and will bring me up from the depths of the earth. Mayest Thou increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I will also praise Thee with the harp, even Thy truth, O my God. To Thee I will sing praises with the lyre. O Thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall shout for joy when I sing praises to Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also will utter Thy righteousness all day long. For they are ashamed, for they are humiliated, who seek my hurt. Amen. So Psalm 71 is, it doesn't say, usually there's like an intro, you know, Psalm of David or something to that effect. It doesn't say that, but I mean, this is probably very very applicable to me. In my Bible, Psalm 71, the tagline says, Prayer for the Aged. And so when I read that this morning, I was like, okay. And so most likely, what many scholars believe is that David is writing this in the midst of Absalom's rebellion. And so he's a much older man now, and he's kind of reflecting. Again, we don't know completely if it's David, because it usually says a Psalm of David, and this doesn't say. But if we actually look through the record here, we can see a lot of different psalms. For instance, Psalm 1 through 3 is verbatim Psalm 31, 1 through 3. Psalm 5 seems to be taken from Psalm 22. Psalm 13, as well as 15 and 18, also seem to come from Psalm 22. Verse 19 seems to come from Exodus 15, which, you know, obviously is not David's work, but David uses a lot of the Exodus story in his writings. And so there seems to be, could make a very fairly fair conclusion that this is talking about David. You'll see very similar language, even very similar language that we saw in Psalm 70 and in Psalm 69. And so we can make a fairly good case. And so David is praying. And so now this psalm is coming from someone in an older age, someone that's been through things, and you could see the wisdom of God that's placed upon him. So he starts off, In Thee, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Thy righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline Thine ear to me and save me. Be Thou to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Again, quoting Psalm 31. And so now we know that the situation that David is in trouble. He's probably, when he talks about this rock of habitation or something, he's in a very uncomfortable place. His bed is the floor. He's probably hiding in a cave somewhere. He's surrounded probably in the Judean wilderness where it's very rocky and all kinds of things happening. And so this is a situation that's at hand. And this would be very similar to a lot of David's Psalms, where he'll start off and he'll talk about his present situation. And then in the midst of that, he'll turn to God and it'll be the ask. And so he says, "Rescue me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoers and ruthless men. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my confidence from my youth." And so he's coming to this place and he's saying, "Lord, you see what's going on. This is my desperate situation. You see what's going on. Lord, rescue me. I have followed you since I was a young boy." And actually the translation is probably better that God has kind of been his God. And so it's not so much David's effort per se, but it's God's providence and his goodness that has covered David. And he says, "I have been sustained from my birth, and you are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee." So as an old man, he's reflecting, looking back, and he's saying, first of all, I'm grateful that even as a youth, you're with me. And then he says, in fact, even when I was in my mother, in fact, you were the one who delivered me. You're the one who took me out of my mother's womb. And so he's reflecting on the incredible sovereignty of God, the incredible hand of God that's been on him. I remember when I became a Christian, obviously growing up, you don't know who God is. Our family, we grew up as a Buddhist family. And so my dad, even though he was not devout in any way, my grandmother was really devout. And so we would practice Buddhist ceremonies. I remember when I was young, and during the anniversary of my grandparents' death, we'd have to wear the traditional Korean hanbok, you know, the Korean dress, very uncomfortable. And we had to learn how to bow, and we do the incense, and we did all that kind of stuff. And so I didn't grow up in the church at all, and it wasn't until college that I became a Christian. But when I look back, and as I begin to learn of God and talk and understand the workings of God, I realize, oh man, God was with me even when I was a little kid. God was with me even when I didn't know him, even when I was sinning. God was with me. I'll tell you a quick story that actually made a huge impact on me. And when I was in seminary, I took a class on prayer ministry by Dr. Charles Craft, you know, who's a great inner healing theologian. And in the class, this wasn't a class. This is when I first started going to church. But he was my professor. And my pastor did his PhD under Dr. Craft. So he came and spoke at our church. And in our service, he was talking about angels one day. And, you know, for me, I'm a brand new Christian. I was like, angels? What is this garbage? And he says, and angels, one of their jobs is to protect us. I think maybe he could see the skepticism in the room. And so he goes, "You want to see?" And so what he did is he had us sit in groups of three. And so I ended up sitting with my pastor, who at that time, some of you guys know, is Dr. Ryan Chang, who's come here a few times and spoken. And so we got into this group, and he says, "God's going to show you where angels have come and protected you." And I was like, all right, you know, whatever. And I get to this, and all of a sudden, I have this incredible vision. When I was 16 years old, my parents went to the Bay Area, and they went on I don't know if it was business or something, and I was given strict orders, do not drive the car. And do not leave Irvine. That's where we were living. And so as soon as my parents left, what did I do? I took the car out and I drove to LA. Just to age me, this was 1984. This was the LA Olympics. Okay, 1984. I know, I was 16 years old in 1984. I know I'm old. And so I drove to LA with my good friend, and we're actually going to hang out and party and stuff like that. And I got in a huge car accident, and I was driving down the 5 going to LA during the Olympics, and a huge truck hit me on the side, like a 18-wheeler, huge semi-truck hit me on the side of the car, and I did like three or four 360s on the highway all the way across, and I landed on the side of the road. And me and my friend, you know, we got out. My friend, unfortunately, he was playing college football, and he hurt his knee, so he couldn't play anymore. I mean, I felt bad about that, but he got a lot of insurance money, so I guess it worked out okay. But he, what ended up happening is, and he says, close your eyes, and the Lord's going to show you. And I see this vision. And while I'm going through, remember, I mean, you know how times during the Olympics is really busy, right? I mean, the freeway is busy. I did three 360s going all the way from the left lane all the way out, or the second to the left lane, all the way out, and I didn't get hit by anything. And the vision that I saw actually, this is like, I've never seen a vision or anything like this. I saw an angel on the roof of my car, and he was guiding the car away from other cars and lead to the embankment. And I was like, wow. My pastor, also, he had a vision. And this is when he was like 2 years old in Korea. And somehow when he was out in the street and a car actually hit him in the head. It was actually a military Jeep, you know, way back in the days. And this Jeep hit him in the head. He got knocked out, his brain swelling, all these things. And during that time, the Lord showed him that when the impact happened, he saw Jesus' hand come right in between the car and his head, and he was able to live. I mean, it's just crazy. And you can see, I mean, they're quite supernatural stories. But man, what a great reminder that even from our youth, even from childhood, from infancy, God is watching over us. And this is David's reflection. As an old man, he's looking back and saying, Lord, you were with me when I was a youth. You were with me even in my mother's womb. You were there for me. And it's pretty amazing. You know, I mean, talking about angels, especially when I look at little ones, the Bible is pretty clear. I forgot exactly the scripture, but I'll remind you later on. The Bible is pretty clear because the Lord, I forgot who, maybe Paul or someone says that he beholds their faces before the Lord. It means that we know definitively children have a guardian angel. And I don't see why an adult would not have one either. And so I noticed this when my kids were young. Have you ever noticed your kids, like when they're in the crib and they're looking up and they're like going like this and they're like giggling and stuff like that? I heard this this prophetic woman tell me one day, and she just says that's the guardian angel playing with the baby. And so they're playing. You know, it says the pure in heart, they shall see God. And so there's this idea. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent, but I think it's quite interesting. And so let's go back to the psalm. So David is continually he's marveling. His praise is unto the Lord. Let's go to verse 10 or verse 9. It says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." So this is the reflection at an old age. "For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver.'" See, this is what happens when you're being persecuted. This is what happens when you are being attacked. People seem to think, oh, why is God not protecting you? If you're a righteous person, if you're a godly person, why are you going through this situation? And that's just a false narrative. It is a false narrative. That's what the enemy says. The enemies of God say, God has forsaken him. Let's seize him, for there's no one to deliver. Yet God is there. And so David cries out, "O God, do not be far from me. And my God, hasten to my help." That sounds exactly like the Psalms we just read, right, the last few days. "Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed, and let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me." Same thing. Lord, you see, he's complaining to God. Lord, you see what's going on? Do you see what these guys are doing? Take care of business, Lord. And then look at verse 14. "But as for me, I will hope continually. I will praise thee yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long. I will come down with the mighty deeds of the Lord, and I'll make mention of thy righteousness, thine alone. Look what he says. Lord, to you, God, I'm going to complain. Lord, do you see this? Do you see what's going on? Do you see what they're saying? Do you see what they're doing? Do you see these attacks? Do you see how they're mocking? But to everybody else, did you catch that? To God, Lord, what? Look at this, come on. But to everybody else, I will offer up my praises. My lips shall tell of the wonders of God. Right? I will come, I will tell the mighty deeds. I'll make mention of your righteousness. Vertically, he's like, God, ah! But then the other people around, all that comes out of David's mouth is praise. I think that's an incredible, incredible and difficult lesson to learn, especially when you're going through trials. And he says again, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I will still declare your wondrous deeds. In other words, he's saying, I've been faithful to you since I was a young man. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. For thy righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens, and thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like thee? That's Exodus 15. Look at verse 20. This is the maturity of David now. You who have shown me many troubles and distresses, you will revive me again. And will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Lord, may you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. Look what David is saying. He's saying that he's looking, this is maturity now. He's looking and said, Lord, I can see how you allow this to happen. I can see that in his way, that you have shown me many troubles and distresses, but you will revive me. In other words, this is going to be for my good. God, you allow this to happen. I submit to your sovereignty, and this is something good. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. Last night, I listened to RT's message on total forgiveness. Someone sent it to me and said, you know, PSAM, you know, please watch this if you can. So I watched it, and it was a video. It was really an incredible video. If you want it, let me know. I'll send it to you. And it's basically seven signs that you've actually totally forgiven somebody. And one of the things that RT said, I really took to heart. And he said that, you know, basically forgiving people is selfish. Like it's to your gain. And his whole point was, you know, I forgive because when I really follow in God's heart, God brings so much blessing into my life, so much anointing into my life. And so he said, this is actually forgiving people is not for, it's for me. It's a selfish thing. And so we can't help but forgive. And I thought, you know, I was just sitting there going like, wow, what an incredible perspective. But that's what David is saying here. He says, Lord, may you increase my greatness. Right? Like sometimes you have to go through the fire to come out better. You know what I mean? Like you have to go through stuff. We used to say it, my friends and I used to say, you got to have a limp. You know, there's got to be a wrestling with God. And Isaac, Jacob. There's got to be something that we go about and we wrestle with the Lord, and there's something about learning that dependence on God, and that's what the writer is saying. He's saying, Lord, increase my greatness as you turn to comfort me. I know that these trials, I know that these tribulations, they're doing something great in me. Again, isn't that what James says? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance, faith, and faith has a perfect result. And so he lays it out before us. And so David, he ends this and he says, so Lord, I will praise thee with the harp. In other words, Lord, it's not good enough for me to praise you with my mouth. That's good, but man, I need instruments. I need the harp. I need the lyre. I need all these instruments to come alongside because, man, you are worthy of more than just my voice. My lips will shout for joy when I sing to you. My soul, which has been redeemed, my tongue will utter thy righteousness all day long. For they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. And so most likely, maybe David finished that last part after victory over Absalom. So let's close our eyes. And I just want to say, just like David is saying here, or whoever the author is, and the Lord's been with you from the moment you were a sparkle in your parents' eyes. Even before, the Lord says he conceived you in your mother's womb. He's been watching over. Sometimes it may not feel like it, but God's got a plan. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God's going to take all the stuff in our life and he's going to make it something beautiful. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you.
Sweetest songs of victory, your grace finds. such grace, your great grace, oh such grace. So I'm breathing in your grace, breathing out your grace, breathing in your grace. Forever I'll be breathing in your grace, breathing out your grace, breathing in your grace. Forever I'll be breathing in your grace, breathing out your grace, breathing in your grace. Your grace binds me. Yes, your grace binds me. Your grace binds me. Yes, your grace binds me.
Amen. Let's thank Him for the grace of God that sustains us. The grace of God that's watched over us all this time, that frees us from bitterness and envy and strife. Let's lift up. Let's thank the Lord for being in our lives all the way from the womb and into eternity. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through chemo, therapies and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer-related illnesses. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our frontline medical workers. Let's pray for strength, courage. Let's pray for protection as they heal and minister to the broken and the sick. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our missions prayers, and let's pray for China. Let's pray for our communities in BJ and SH, especially during the lockdown there. Pray that they would have adequate food. Pray that they would be able to still connect together as a community, and they are. And that's been a real source of strength and comfort. But let's just pray for just kind of mental health during this time. At least in Shanghai, they can go out once a day for like 40 minutes or something like that. But let's just cover them right now. Let's cover our communities, and let's pray that they would really be a strength unto one another during this time. Let's pray for the board. Let's just really praise God for their efforts. Their incredibly diligent work to get the report out and make the presentation. And let's just ask for God's blessing. I know a lot of them are very tired. Let's pray for renewed strength during this time. Let's pray for the fellowship ministries, our men's, women's. Let's pray for the prayer meetings, the support groups. Let's just ask God's hand to be with them as they grow into mighty men of God, mighty women of God. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray that God would continue to provide. Pray for building and resources. Pray for a vision fund and a benefactor. Ask God's hand to be with this as we continue to search and look. Let's pray for our pregnant ladies. Let's ask God to just protect them, protect their health, protect their energy levels, protect the baby. Pray for a smooth delivery and they would really have a joyful season right now. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Blue Pool, Chaiti, Fortress, Gia, Lido, Line Rock, New Conduit, TST, Westville. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and anoint our leaders and our hosts, and people would really draw close to God and to each other. And lastly, let's pray for our prayer meeting this Friday night at 7:30, our Teshuvah. It's a time to return and repent to the Lord. And let's just pray for just a real spirit of humility, a spirit of intercession, really a heart of a really collective responsibility. Let's pray our people would come out and we would just really seek God's face. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Thank you from the womb, God, to the grave and to eternity. Lord, your grace finds us, God. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to watch over us as you are now. Lord, let us have a perspective like David did, God. Lord, all these things that happen in our life, Lord, that you have a plan in it somehow. And we submit to you, to your plans, God. To your goodness, Lord, we thank you. Watch over us today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.